This week is Dying Awareness Week, and we've been joined today by Helen from the bereavement support team. Hi there, good.
Hello. Good to meet you. Very well, thank you.
So tell us a bit, Helen, about what your role is and what the bereavement support service does.
So I work within the bereavement support service for Cardiff and Vale University Health Board. We are a small team, so there's three of us. There's my manager, Faye, who's a bereavement lead nurse. I'm her deputy. And our administrative support from Jessica, who is really helpful. So we provide bereavement support for anyone who works within the Cardiff and Vale area. So sorry, anyone who lives within the Cardiff and Vale area. And also anyone whose families, whose loved ones die within our hospitals. We also provide inpatient support to people who may come in with kind of, you know, different things. But, you know, on here, you know, they may disclose kind of, you know, recent historic bereavements, you know, and we can come and see that, come and see them then. We also provide support for our, you know, for our staff, you know, within our health board. We can involve with lots of training, but kind of support wise, kind of that's what we do. The majority of our support is telephone based. So kind of immediate and ongoing that can, you know, but for some people, that's a one-off call. For some people, that's something more regular. They may pick up the phone again in 6 months' time, kind of in 18 months' time. You know, we text people, you know, we email. And I think we kind of recognize that grief is complex. You know, it's a little bit kind of, it can feel a little bit messy sometimes. You know, people can feel very vulnerable. And so we try and open it up so that people can get in contact with us, kind of in any way that they feel that they can manage. You know, it's often very difficult to pick up the phone. So people can refer themselves into us. They don't have to kind of go via their GP or anyone like that. Yes, we, you know, we do have a referral form, which people will find in kind of posters around the health board. But actually, they can phone up and they can just leave a message, and you know, and it doesn't matter kind of, you know, what they say. Sometimes it's difficult to convey that, you know, that message across, you know, and we'll always call them back. Family and friends can refer someone also. They have to have their permission to do so. You know, we're an opt-in service. So yeah, that
sort of sums up what we do then. But so therefore, if you've got somebody who maybe has been sort of diagnosed on palliative care, obviously we're not being on end of life care because there's different sections or different parts, yeah, of that. And of course, grief has no roadmap. There's not the same grief for me as it would be for you. It would go into the similar process perhaps, but it's we do things at different times, etc., etc. So with your service, are family members, etc., able to come to you if somebody got a palliative care diagnosis and actually start or ask those type of questions? Because the first thing comes to mind, how long have we got, et cetera, et cetera. It's a difficult subject, I know, to talk about, but I think it's really important we do talk about it earlier in that process. So when does your team get involved? Is it before or is it after the death?
It's usually afterwards, although we can. You know, we have a wonderful palliative care team within the health board, you know, who work very hard and certainly, you know, address all of that with families and support them. So, you know, if families were to contact us prior to that their loved one dying, we would absolutely be able to kind of have that conversation with them. But usually kind of at the point when somebody dies or just afterwards, and that may be in the, you know, the first couple of days afterwards. I say it might be 6 months, it might be two years down the line that somebody gets in, you know, in contact with us. I mean, because, you know, I think there are some kind of common themes that we can all feel about grief, but we all live our lives very uniquely. And so we grieve very uniquely. You know, one sibling is not going to experience their grief, you know, the same way as another sibling. And I think that's really important to recognise. You know, it's about kind of knowing what's natural to feel. You know, that there is no timeline, there is no, you know, kind of right or wrong way. And I think when people feel vulnerable, they often kind of, you know, they look for guidance in terms of, you know, what to do. I need to make sure I'm doing this right. And actually, there isn't a right or wrong way. And I think it's, you know, important to understand, for people to understand, you know, that all of the different ways that, you know, grief can affect you. You know, there's lots of physical symptoms, lots of emotional symptoms.
So in that respect then, so, you know, understand what you're saying. So your team would then come on and, but your, so would the ward notify you that somebody has passed and therefore you can then, the family member need to contact you? I couldn't quite understand that.
So a bit of both, effectively, for that. Okay, so if families are within our hospitals, and you know they would like to speak to us, the staff on the ward, you know, they can ask the staff and they can absolutely, you know, refer to us. So. Or they can contact us completely separately. So there are kind of different ways, you know, that people can do that. I think, say, we're an opt-in service, so the families won't automatically be referred to us if they have a loved one that dies within the hospital. The information about our service within the Health Board's bereavement booklet, which families get given before they leave the hospital. So our contact details are within there as well. Our contact details are also on the website, you know, so people can get in contact with us that way.
Okay. So with only three of you covering the whole Health Board, that's quite a task to do, isn't it?
Yes.
So is there a waiting period people need to wait to get help and support from you? Or, and I appreciate you're mostly telephone based, but that seems quite a lot of work with the amount of beds you've got and amount of care you've both in your community hospitals as well as the main hospital sites. So is the workload in that respect sort of, is there a delay? People may receive a delay getting or with somebody getting back to them?
I think the only likely delay really would be the fact that we work Monday to Friday, so don't cover weekends or bank holidays. So if somebody contacts us on a Friday evening, then, you know, they won't be, you know, they won't have a response until that, you know, the following working day.
Right.
We try really hard for there not to be a delay, you know, for us to get back to people. I think that's really important. If people email us, you know, we will always try and get back that same day. That, you know, there is no wasting time for telephone support. You know, and we're very clear about that. I think what there might be a delay for is if we, you know, we have a lot of support from third sector organisations, and we refer also for, you know, for grief specific counselling. And, you know, there may be, you know, some wait time for those counselling sessions, but it there certainly isn't for our service.
Okay. And if people want to get hold of your service, that you said there's various numbers around the hospital sites as such. Say putting out, because otherwise you'll be endangered by people who are in the community who may want to access your services.
Yes.
But have you got something on the website, on the Health Board website, people can go and look to that?
Yes, absolutely. So all of the information is on our Health Board website. If you go into the bereavement section on there, there's a very specific section purely on bereavement support that will give our contact details on there. So there's our main office line, there's an email address on there, and I think there's our mobile numbers on there as people want to text us.
Okay. Thank you, Helen, for coming in today. Much appreciated. And this is all part of the Dying World Awareness Week. And just before we wrap up, why is this week so important for people to have awareness raised about this?
I think that, you know, Dying Matters Awareness Week is incredibly important. It's an annual event that I think really aims to raise awareness that kind of talking about dying, talking about death, talking about bereavement is healthy. And I think its overall aim is to kind of reduce that kind of stigma. You know, it's...
Whenever I've spoken to, because I've obviously over the period of this week, we've done quite a few discussions with various organisations of chaplains, department, etc. And each person, each individual group we spoke to, basically the main theme was talk about this earlier in the process before you get to the point,
yeah.
Because then you know what people want. You would know what your loved one, what they would like around them, what they would like you to do for them. I think that's been the main learning from what I've picked up through this week. Through doing these discussions with individuals,
yeah.
And groups, to say, but actually, it's not too late to have that conversation. And while it's a difficult conversation to have,
yeah, absolutely.
And obviously, if you've done it at the right time and etc., but actually being prepared actually makes life a lot easier when that time does come, because then because everything will be in place.
Yeah, it's really important. And I think it's never too late. And I don't think it's ever too early to have that, to have that conversation with family, friends whose loved ones are facing death. It's talking about their wishes, talking about what they'd like to happen, what they'd want to happen. And I think with the friends and families, who will be, left behind, it's about knowing, that grief can start really early, before their loved one dies, and what's normal. And I think, often with grief, it's a time when, it's the first time that people feel, just not quite themselves, and say they feel very vulnerable. They can kind of, lose their focus. Sometimes, we have people saying, I think I'm going mad. What is it I'm feeling? And I think it's just being able to have that conversation, know what's natural to feel, and to kind of provide that reassurance, and really to kind of, get those conversations going, facilitate these conversations wherever possible.
Thank you, Helen. Thanks for the team, and thanks for all your team, all the support they do provide. That was Helen there from the Bereavement Support Service, based here at the Cardinal Bell University Health Board. Thank you.
Thank you.